It comes at a, I think perhaps at a crucial time in the whole field of energy. And I say that because, you know, in recent years, the pandemic, the invasion of Ukraine, soaring energy prices, far-right politics, focus on immigration, they've all pushed the climate change down the agenda. Now, this is an opportunity to revive interest in the issue of climate change and to get renewable energy discussed more, new ways of doing things. So, you know, we've had, I suppose, I mean, people have been switching to electric cars, for instance, but then the high prices have been a bit of a deterrence. Likewise, everybody knows, I suppose, that, you know, heat pumps are a good way of decarbonizing heat in their own homes. But then there's a big price differential between them and the ordinary, the standard oil and gas boiler. So, you know, again, the new North-South interconnector, it's terribly important, but people understandably don't want to see pylons and wire strung along the landscape. So there are a lot of headwinds and against that enthusiasm we should be showing for measures to combat climate change. There's a lot of things distracting us that I mentioned. And so I think the conference comes at a really good time to sort of, if you like, charge up those batteries and make sure that we're contributing to the fight against global warming, which is having devastating consequences across the world. Maybe not so much on this island, but still will have an effect.
It's interesting that you used the word headwinds there as you were speaking about the topics and the debate, because obviously wind energy is something that's very much a matter for debate. There's a big debate about the use of turbines on land. And we see them there becoming ubiquitous now, and there's an ongoing debate over where they should be located and how close to homes, etc., etc. There's also a growing discussion about the harnessing of wind at sea, and Lough Foyle and the area around the Foyle comes into this discussion more and more, and Lough Foyle is a shared resource between both sides of the border. The Lochs Agency is a shared cross-government and cross-border body that looks after Lough Foyle, and there's to be a very big discussion, I suspect, to be had on the use of the Foyle for wind energy in the area around the Foyle on both sides, and that's coming up in one of the discussions.
Yeah, I think the issue about the siting of wind farms is pretty critical, because we want them, we want to put them in the most advantageous places. And onshore, that has been that's been in the top of mountains. But then, realistically, and then of course offshore, we want them in positions where they're going to attract the most wind. Lough Foyle, I presume, is you know, will offer attractions, but really the coasts, will offer a much better opportunity. So off the west coast of Donegal. Wonderful, consistent winds, as everybody knows who, like myself, holidays in Donegal. You're never too far away from a breezy day. That's in a sense is the optimum place off the coasts. One thing I would say about once you've established, now you've mentioned the, you know, the concern that people maybe have about the siting of wind farms. And once you get that electricity ashore, you're going to have to create, either strengthen the network to take that energy, which is coming coming in large quantities, and that means maybe new pylons, new or at least strengthening the grid. And I know people have an objection to that because they think it disfigures the landscape. But it's a curious thing because there's not the same level of opposition to new roadways. I mean, people, yes, they might be at the very point where the road is going through, people might have an objection. But did you think the two things are both networks? You know, one is a network for getting transport about, getting you about, and then people see the obvious advantages of a new road, and they swing in behind it. Or there's not the same, as I say, level of opposition. But there's every reason to look at the grid as being a network. It's not transporting people, but it's transporting a vital source of energy. And it is, you know, we really need to have those networks there. to save lives, to try and decarbonize, and to, you know, move our economy along. So in a way, if we could only look at the grid as being another network like the road system, and perhaps our, the opposition to it might diminish somewhat.
Something I've noticed, and I have no scientific basis for saying this other than my own personal observations. On the Donegal side, the Republic side of the border, there are wind farms. And you see a wind farm, a gathering of however many, be it 15, be it 20, whatever, turbines. It seems to me that both driving along the A5, as I do regularly, and driving to Belfast, as I've done a number of times recently as well, there seems to be many more single turbines in Northern Ireland. That what you see in the Republic are big wind farms, so there's clumps of 15 or 20. But if you drive along the N5, there's maybe 7 or 8 different single turbines attached to single farms or single businesses. Is there a policy difference on both sides of the border? I mean, it seems to me it's a very different approach.
Well, there has been in the past. I'm not sure about the grant system in the Republic, but certainly in Northern Ireland, there was. Now, the grants have stopped, but in the past, there was quite an attractive offer of support for people putting up single turbines. And that may not have been paralleled in the south to the same degree.
I suspect that is the case.
So that might explain the disparity that you're seeing. Mm. I'm not quite, as I say, I'm not across the detail of the grant support. But in any case, that grant system has stopped for the moment, and we'll have to see what comes in the north. We'll have to see what is going to replace it when the government makes these decisions.
Well, no, it's just, as I say, an observation that myself and my better half had as we were driving along the road there quite recently.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to talk about the media partner for this particular event, because the media partner is Highland Radio, and my colleague Greg will be chairing one of the discussions, and my colleague John, who follows this programme on Around the Northwest, will also be broadcasting live from the event. Having Highland as a media partner, it's a very interesting and exciting development from our point of view. Important for the conference that there is a media partner of that nature and yeah. of that stature.
I think so. I mean, Greg is going to be chairing the discussion, talking about the skills pipeline, because it's all very well to say we should be doing these things, we should be installing heat pumps, we should be, you know, encouraging people to buy electric cars, we doing the things that we want them to do. But you've got to have the backup. You've got to have the skills there in place to ensure that the things, once installed, can be monitored, can be maintained, likewise with the car. So the skills pipeline, that discussion that Greg is going to be chairing, is a crucial one. It's crucial on both sides of the border, and we will have to do it. We will have to make sure that there is the level of support to allow people to have comfort that once they put in this newfangled heat pump that they're not terribly familiar with, that they have got somebody there they can call upon to come out and fix it. They can get somebody to come out to service it. So this is a critical thing. One of the things that I probably didn't mention when I was talking earlier there is one of the headwinds maybe is the price of electricity. Now, it so happens that the most recent figures available show how the price of the wholesale price of electricity compares on this island, because of course we have a single electricity market. So at the wholesale level, you're facing the same price both north and south. And it's proved to be in the second quarter of this year the most expensive of the countries surveyed by the EU Commission for their regular survey. And it has been near the top of that league for for the first half of this year and the last year. So there is a thing when you're telling people, look, you really need to switch off the oil boiler, get rid of the gas boiler, and switch to a heat pump, which is obviously totally powered by electricity. When you're telling them to use an electric car, you want to be able to assure them that they're paying a very good price, a keen price for electricity. And our prices, the wholesale price of electricity, being either at the top of the league or close to the top of the league in Europe, is not a good incentive. And I think that's something that has to be addressed. in Northern Ireland, I mentioned earlier there that we're talking, the government's going to bring in a scheme which is likely to bring in a scheme called CFDs. And that, I'll not go into the technicalities of it, but that is likely to help to keep, to reduce prices. So there is some hope on the horizon, some reason for optimism that the price, the wholesale price of electricity will be trimmed a bit in Northern Ireland. Because, as I say, when you're asking people to do something and they say, well, what's the price of it and what's the cost of it? And you're saying, well, look, unfortunately, the wholesale price of electricity is a bit high. You know, that's not going to prompt them. That's not going to encourage them to make the switch. So we really do have to address the cost of electricity.
The theme of the event is sustainable energy through innovation, and I suppose that's the one theme that's been running through what you've said. Looking at things like how we harness wind into the future, looking at things like biomass, looking at things like building that skills pipeline as well. And as you said, it's one thing to have the technology, it's one thing to have the protocols, but you have to have the people to run them, and crucially the people to understand them. It's going to be important that companies come along to this, that businesses come along to this, and that as you try to move forward with this whole energy debate, that businesses, that companies are moving along with you.
Yeah, and I think we've got an excellent lineup of speakers, and I think from my experience, having chaired the conference in past years, encourages me to tell people that, you know, this is a great opportunity for your business to come along and be briefed on some of the latest discussions, latest thinking. I mean, we have, for instance, Plan Energy about how to reduce your energy costs and curb your carbon emissions. That's important. We'll have Paul Stanfield from Firmus Energy and talking about using biomethane to decarbonize the natural gas network. We have a speaker from Vestas, massive company that produces wind turbines, will be giving us their tuppence worth. Ian Looney from Foyle Port, talking about renewables. Look, we have Evermore, the company that built Ireland's first biomass station. We have such a lineup of wonderful speakers and great talks that, you know, you're going to get something from this. You're going to come away thinking, this has been a good investment of my time. I have learned something that is of practical use to me. And as I move forward, if you're running a business, and indeed for people who are not necessarily running a business, but have a reason for an input into the commercial world, be they politicians, councillors, MLAs, PDs. You know, there is something everybody can pick up from.
And I suppose too, from the point of view of businesses, they do want to play their part in looking after the environment, etc. They do want to be doing the right thing, but they're businesses. They also want to make money, and perhaps there are investment opportunities. Perhaps there's money-making opportunities in terms of investing in alternative energies, investing in sustainable energy, and finding ways where maybe in moving into these alternatives and into these sustainable energy streams, they can also perhaps save themselves money and perhaps even generate some income for themselves.
Well, you know, it's the case that, you know, companies, very smaller companies may think, you know, do I want to make this investment? You know, I don't have lots of money to spare. Can I afford to, you know, invest in equipment which is going to allow me to decarbonize my business? And my advice, for what it's worth, is that you really have no option, because you may think that it's maybe not a high priority, but the company you're supplying to, the giant, perhaps company with an international reputation and international throw, is going to want you to decarbonize, because they've got to show to their suppliers that they've got their customers, that they are an investors, that they are decarbonizing. And if their suppliers, the people who are supplying to them, are not doing that, then they haven't a complete 100% story to tell. So whether you, in a sense, and I suppose everybody coming to the conference, of course, will be committed to renewables. But if some companies feel, well, you know, this is not for me, this is really, I have other things to be bothered about, I have more important things. No, you don't. This is a hugely important thing. You've got to decarbonize. If not for your own benefit of your own business. Well, effectively, I'm going to say that it is for the benefit of your own business because someone else wants you to decarbonize. You know, it might be, to paraphrase that well-known commentator on renewable energy, Leon Trotsky, you may not be interested in climate change, but climate change is interested in you. And so you're going to have to change whether you like it or not.
And I suppose if we're going to finish on cliches, let's add the old, if they're asking, can I afford to do it? The response is, can you afford not to?
Absolutely.